Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Maria Lavelle is a filmmaker. She joined us when her film Over the Bridge was released. Since then, both film and filmmaker have been on an incredible journey. Maria joins us today. She's at the studios from the University of Sioux Falls. Maria, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to start out our conversation with just a clip from the film Over the Bridge. This is from the very beginning.
Over the bridge and through the tracks to the end of the world we go. Here's the wasteland, covered with snow. The winds are blowing 30, and it's well below. Food lines are long, as in miles. Everyone's frozen. There are no smiles.
None of us want to be homeless. Nope, you know, it just, unfortunately, it happens.
I don't really like it here. You know, it's hard, and it's cold.
This is kind of like, you know, they always talk about political terms about falling through the safety net. And once you fall through, I've definitely, and we have down here, fallen through the safety nets.
Those are scenes from Over the Bridge, a film by Maria Lavelle. And Maria, who was your co-director for that?
Sarah Kocher. She graduated from Augie last year.
All right. So it's a film about homelessness, and it features residents of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And obviously from that clip, in the depths of a very cold and miserable winter. Before we talk about what sort of happened to you since the last time you were on the program, I'm wondering if you could just give people an overview for context of why you wanted to make this film in the first place.
It actually started when I went back to Norway, where I'm from. I went back for a Christmas break, and when I walked around in the streets, I just realized that there were so many homeless people that I never noticed before when I lived there. And then it suddenly occurred to me that ever since I moved to Sioux Falls, I'd never seen any homeless people because they're not out in the open, you know, on campus at Augustana or anywhere. So I just kind of wanted to see if homelessness even was an issue here. And if it was, I wanted to just kind of shed a light on it and show my classmates at Augie that it actually is an issue.
Mm. And what did you find out? Was it an issue?
So much bigger than I thought, because it's once you cross that bridge downtown on Indiana Avenue, it's just this whole different world that just opens up, and it's, yeah, you don't see it. It's like a different city. And
do you think being from somewhere else and having the experience that you did of traveling away from home, going home, noticing something, and then coming back to this place that is somewhat new to you, made a difference in your ability to see the things that other people could not see?
I think I went into it without having any pre-assumptions or any biases, because I didn't even know this was an issue until I brought my camera with Sarah and we decided to talk to people. So I'm hoping it is an accurate depiction of what the problem is, because my only goal was to tell their story. I didn't want to put my opinion in someone's lap and just say this is what it is. I just wanted to show what we saw and what we found.
How did you make connections with some of the people you featured in the film? How did you encourage them to trust you and to open up and tell their stories on camera?
We had a contact at the Bishop Dudley House, and she was very familiar with them, and they trusted her. She works with them every day. So I think that helped a lot, that she knew these people, and if she said that it's okay, then, you know, we're not here to make you look bad. We just want to tell you your story. And they were incredibly open. We even got so many interviews that we couldn't put in the film because we had to make it less than 20 minutes. So people were amazing. Hmm.
What kind of people did you meet? We heard some of those voices in the beginning of the clip. Tell me some of the individuals that you got to know through this project.
Our main character was Robert Eggers. And we wanted to talk to him because we knew beforehand that he kind of broke all those stereotypes that you think a homeless person is. Because Robert has 2 master's degrees. He was just weeks short of getting his doctor's degree. He's a highly educated man who just happened to fall into addiction. And we wanted to tell his story just because it shows that it's not always, you know, that typical homeless person that people expect to see.
That people have projected their idea on. Did you find mental health issues, addiction issues? What were there patterns or themes as you did this work that sort of rose to the surface? Or was every story just an individual story?
It seemed like there is sort of a pattern with addiction and mental health issues. So it's kind of like which came first. Because the issue of medication being unavailable and expensive for a lot of these people, they sometimes turn to other substances to kind of self-medicate. So that was a big issue we saw, and domestic violence and unemployment, lack of health insurance. There were so many things.
What did they want you to know? What did they want you to know about them and about their situation?
I think a lot of them wanted us to see who they are. They used to have a life before they ended up homeless. So they told us, and that's what we wanted to see too, where they were before and what kind of, what made them take this path or how they ended up where they are. So mostly their past and also what they want to do after. These people have dreams just like everyone else.
So you work on this film, you work with Sarah, your partner, and then it's time to sort of bring it into the world. What are some of those first steps to sharing the work, and, you know, which is deeply personal to you, and then also these stories of real lives? How do you begin sharing that with an audience and finding the right audience for it?
We just wanted to show this to our professors initially. It was supposed to be a 4-minute film that we could just show to professors and faculty and get some, you know, constructive criticism. But then once we saw that this issue is so big and nobody really had heard about it, we wanted to bring it to the Augustana audience so our classmates could see that, you know, there are homeless people in Sioux Falls, and just because we don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. So then we invited everyone to a screening at Augustana, and it, you know, we expected maybe 12, 15 people to show up. And we got more than 200.
Wow.
So that's kind of when everything accelerated from there.
All right. So that moment when you look around and you realize there's 200 people who wanted to see that film, what were you thinking?
Well, now I suddenly felt this pressure and responsibility because nobody was supposed to see this. But it was incredibly touching to see that so many people care, and people from the outside community as well.
All right. What happens next to the film then after that screening?
Then we got accepted to, or we got invited to the Sioux Empire Film Festival. We just got an email and they asked if we wanted to screen our film at the Orpheum Theater a couple of weeks later. And then we won an award for social impact. And that's kind of when we got the idea of getting into more festivals and trying to spread this a little further, because it's clearly an issue people want to know more about and maybe need to know more about as well.
And as we talk about the social impact of it, we also, you know, can't overlook the fact that the film is really well crafted and well made. So what, as you saw the success of it or the reach of it sort of expanding, did you also have a moment where you could look back as a filmmaker and say, okay, the story was told, it was a powerful story, but it was also told effectively, told artistically, told well? What did you learn as a filmmaker from, you know, the results?
Well, first of all, thank you. I think to begin with, I had never made a documentary or a film this long before. Mm-hmm. And I think what was the most eye-opening for me was just how hard it was to work in those conditions. It was freezing. This was in January. And we also, like, we had a little crew, but none of us had really done this before. So we kind of learned as we went. And now looking back, I see all the things I would have done differently. Hope, and that's a good thing, because that means I learned something, hopefully.
The support of Cinema Falls and other, and you've had screenings in Norway. Tell me about some of the screenings and sort of guest speaking events.
Yeah, Cinema Falls has been a huge support for us, because when we later got into film festivals and we had to travel there, a lot of that was covered by Cinema Falls. With the money that we got from the screening they hosted. And then that was kind of more the film audience, people who know film and know what good film is supposed to look like. So to have their support meant a lot, and that gave us the confidence that we maybe needed to take those next steps. And later, with the guest speaking events, we've been invited to universities and middle schools, high schools. We've had some homeless advisory board meetings and some legislature screenings.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been a variety of things.
What other films have you done then? Have you been continuing to make films?
After the Augustana screening, I kind of felt that, okay, now this chapter is closed. Let's move on to something else. But it's been more than a year now, and every week, this is what has kept me busy outside of school.
Wow. All right, I've been following you on Facebook, so I think it's okay to ask you about this, but talk to me a little bit about your future film education and the school that you might like to go to.
Yeah, last fall I decided to apply to NYU Tisch, the film program, the graduate film program. And I've heard that it's the most competitive program in the nation, so I felt a little, you know, intimidated. Maybe I shouldn't do this, but then I just decided to do it, and I got in. So now I just have some financial things to figure out because it's incredibly expensive.
This is kind of a big deal because not very many people get into this film school at all. What did you have to do to put in an application?
It was a long process. I had to write a personal statement, and I had to write my first short story since high school, and I had to write a script, and I did two interviews with them in New York, so I had to go there and actually talk with them. And then, of course, I attached my visual samples with photography and video.
Mm-hmm. Was this film part of that application?
Yes, it was my main sample.
All right. So you get this acceptance, and then you realize that the funding for this is just going to be more than you can handle, and you sort of decide, you know, maybe I can't do this, is what I remember reading on Facebook. And then the response from people who either knew you or knew your work was really overwhelming, of people encouraging you to figure out a way to make it happen. How'd that make you feel?
I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah.
I felt when I got the budget and I saw that this is just way out of reach, I decided to write about it on my blog and just explain that, you know, this was nice, but now I'm going to have to close this door because I simply can't afford it. And it seemed that everyone around me, they were just like, no, this is not an option. You have to do this.
I had the same reaction. I read that and I thought, oh, that's so eloquently written. And you did. You had this beautiful, well, this isn't going to happen, but I'll find a way to be a filmmaker. And I had the same reaction at the end. I was like, well, wait a minute. You don't just walk away from that opportunity. So people are, you know, offering to help at this point, right?
Yeah, I still have quite a way to go, but it's closer than ever. And I think now it's definitely within reach. I just have to figure out the details. But
So you believe that you're capable of doing the work and of being there. That's not an issue that you're trying to overcome.
No, I think getting in, that was an accomplishment for me in itself. And this is what I want to do. I want to be a filmmaker. And I feel like to tell those really important stories, I need someone that can teach me how to do that. And NYU seems like the kind of place that can help me. Yeah. Kind of strengthen that voice.
What kind of community do you need or you know, culture do you need to be surrounded by to, you know, to support an artistic vision like that, a journalistic vision and an artistic vision? What feeds you to really do the hard work that needs to be done to really master the craft?
I think the only word that I can really use is passion. It's a lot of hard work and it's very little reward at this point. Like, I don't make any money off of this, but this is, even if I don't make any money in the next 10 years off of this, this is still what I want to do because, yeah, I can't really explain it any other way than I feel called to do this.
Yeah.
So,
Who do you admire in the film world? Who are the directors that you sort of look up to and who inspire you?
I have so many different ones, but yeah. I think the big one is Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. Because he makes narrative movies with, you know, usually important stories or at least with an important message. So it needs to be something important or else I wouldn't bother spending all this time.
Right. Where do you see yourself? Are there topics that you want to explore still? You know, once you're in school, are there certain areas that you just think, you know, I want to turn my camera on that. I want to write the story and tell the story of that topic.
I think kind of like a thread that goes through everything I do with film is that I want people to see something bigger and something deeper and broader and believe in something more. So it doesn't necessarily have to be documentary. In fact, I want to go into actual movies.
Right.
So something about, you know, human resilience and just, you know, believing in something bigger. That's the vision I have for my work.
An incredible use of I think, the way you see the human face, too. There's just something about that you show us people, even when they're not speaking, we see them exactly as these rich, complex human beings, just the way you sort of structured that film. So I could definitely see
in
a character with actors or in real life as you find those stories that call you to the next thing. So Marie Lavelle, the film is called Over the Bridge. Where can we find more about you? You have a blog. You want to tell us about it?
Yes, I have a blog/website portfolio. It's marielavelle.com. And that's also where we have the distribution of the DVDs of Over the Bridge. So it's kind of a collection of some of my work, and then I write weekly blog posts about whatever happens in my life and the steps I make towards my dream.
All right. From Norway to Sioux Falls and hopefully to New York, Maria, we enjoy following your work and come back again when you have more updates about what you're doing next. You're always welcome here.
Thank you so much, Lori.